going to borrow Kathy's stand. It's good to see everyone. There are many lovely faces here, and I am happy to see each of you. I love the last song that you did. I mean, there are a lot of beautiful songs, but the cross is something amazing. Amen. We need it. We need the purpose and the whole fundamental of Christ and the cross. Without it, we don't have redemption, right? So, on the PowerPoint that is going to be coming at some point, in some form or fashion, I will bring it up here. But we're going to be, while getting this opened up, we will be, why can I not think here? We're going to be doing Colossians still again. So, as we do Colossians, go through Colossians. We're not going to go through the entire Colossians book itself, but I'm still going off of Colossians 3:14. No, 15, sorry. And I'm going to read it to you right now. I'll finish up here. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. My brain has totally left me, Tim. How do I start my PowerPoint? I am not finding it. I don't know why I cannot think of...
That's okay.
This is why we have Tim. Okay, well, he's looking for that. It's there somewhere, Tim. I don't know if it just decided to leave at this very moment, but it's there. Find it, Tim. Just kidding. Thanks, Tim. Okay. Sovereignty of God. Tim was here. Colossians is a beautiful book and a beautiful perspective and representation of peace and unity within the body and the importance of oneness in Christ. So with that thought, let's pray together. Father, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for the technology you give us to be able to use to feed our eyes when we study the word together. But most of all, I thank you for your word that feeds our soul. We can have many thoughts and points, and I can bring up many points, but most of all, and the most important of all, is that we study the word and we pray that we know you and understand who you are, because then in return, we will be able to act out true love. So, Father, I just ask that you would bless us and open our eyes and our minds and our hearts as we go through the scriptures today, from the littlest to the oldest. And thank you for all the different dynamics of persons that are here with us today. May each be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've been going through this for a bit, and the first one we went through was, with interpersonal relationships, communication. Effective communication is the cornerstone of any robust relationship. It encompasses active listening, clear articulation of thoughts and feelings, and openness to feedback. Then, within that one point was listening to the Word of God. One of the greatest and most important aspects of a teacher is the ability to be a listener and to listen to God and people. I don't believe that that's just on teachers. I think that that should be on all of us as well. Second one was trust. Building trust takes time. Through our consistency of actions comes dependability. Not someone else's actions, but our own actions bring dependability for others to trust us. So it's essential for us to secure a safe environment where individuals can be confident in safety to share personal information. I've talked about this before, but husbands in leading the home are to be a trusted source for their spouses to come to share whatever needs to be shared. A man needs to lead by loving and by being a trusted source. So, respect. Mutual respect entails appreciation. Mutual respect entails appreciating each other's opinions, boundaries, and individuality. When I say individuality, I'm not talking about what our culture is doing a little bit with all of their different things. But at the same time, even if someone does come to you and has a differing opinion on gender, it doesn't mean that you can't listen to them. You don't need to just cut them off. Hear them. Let them talk. We know the truth, if we know the truth, and if we believe the truth, and we can bring them truth. So it involves treating others with kindness, gentleness, and thoughtfulness, even in the face of disagreement, which goes along with what I just said about with our culture and genders. But it's not just that. There's so many things. We have a whole body here of many different dynamics, as I said earlier in prayer, many age differences. And as we learned from Diane this morning, that there is many age differences, and we kind of figured out a little bit of some people's ages. And I won't point them out. As Ray said, don't point anyone's age, especially ladies. Don't say the ages. But thank you for that this morning too, Diane, and everyone else involved. So, respect. Who likes respect? Anyone? Five people? Okay. I like respect. As we go through this, we need to think about how we implement respect. Are you a respectful person because you understand respect, or do you demand respect? I've demanded respect before. It doesn't go so well. So don't try it. Or try it and then realize don't do that. I want to give you another analogy here before we get going too, with Spurgeon and Parker. I don't know a lot about Parker. Spurgeon I know a lot about. And this brings a different perspective with Spurgeon. So if you can read it, I'll read it to you too. Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker, both pastored churches in London, England. One day, Parker commented on the poor living conditions of the children in Spurgeon's orphanage, including their need for food and clothing. But as so often happens, the message was twisted in the telling. When it reached Spurgeon's ears, it sounded as though Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. In response, Spurgeon publicly denounced Parker in his pulpit. The rebuke made its way into the newspaper. The following Sunday, Spurgeon was away preaching in another city. Many flocked to Parker's church just to see him strike back at Spurgeon. Sounds much like people, doesn't it? I don't think it's any different today. However, Parker did what no one else expected. I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and this is the Sunday they collect for their orphanage. I propose we take a love offering on his behalf. The congregation was deeply moved by his kindness. The ushers had to empty the collection plates three times. It was an offering not just for an orphanage, but for the very cause of reconciliation. A few days later, there was a knock at Parker's office. He opened the door to find Charles Spurgeon standing there. His eyes were filled with tears. "Parker, you didn't give me what I deserved. You gave me what I needed." From that moment, the two spiritual giants stood not as rivals, but as brothers in Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. I love that story. It was a piece from Moody Press. Galatians 6:1-2. Opinions and boundaries. Think about that as we go through this. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I'm sure you've probably unpacked this verse before, but there is a lot to be unpacked within this verse, and we're not going through it all. But within it, it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And through this too, we need to see that truly. We need to understand and grasp the importance of that, of bearing one another's burdens. But something I love about Paul, when he brings out the law and when he brings it into play, when Christians want to use the law, then we need to use it biblically. God's word is not to downplay another person. We use the law of the Spirit and not the letter of the law. You want the law, then to bear one another's burdens. If we want it, then that's what it's there for, to bear one another's burdens. If Christ took on sin, bore our burden, why should it not be expected of us to bear one another's burdens? I know that we can't die like Christ died in such a physical way, but at the same time, there's many men and women who have gone through the years who have died for the name of the gospel, and that's the important part, for the gospel's sake, that we bear one another's burdens. So why should it be expected nothing less than for us to bear one another's burdens? Because Christ bore yours. There's a few things I'm going to get through within this today. As I've said before, though, I've been going through Colossians itself, but then I've been stuck. The Lord has put me on this verse and left me here. I know for myself first, and then for you too, through the Word of God, to bring about what He needs for us. But this is something else here. I'll talk about this a little bit more later. But some people use constructive criticism as a guise to further their own agendas. For example, too often individuals who thrive on controversy and gossip and who seek attention disguise their self-serving criticism as supportive advice. While they may appear to be on your side, their true intent is to fulfill their own interests and needs. So let me make this point. Respect is a fundamental point within unity. If you have your Bibles and you can turn to any scriptures that I give today, please do. If not, write them down. Ephesians 4:3-4. If you want to turn there with me. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. I'm sure you saw that on the front of your bulletin. If you didn't, it's there for you as well. But eager to maintain. Is there an eagerness that wells up within you to want to have unity or to keep peace with your brother and sister? I hope there is. And there is only one body and one Spirit. So if you're working in another spirit to have disunity, it's not the Spirit of God. I don't know if you knew, but in the Greek, eager means to labor over. So the beginning of that verse, you can use your bulletin if you need to for translation with ESV there. Eager is put there. labor over to maintain. We all know what labor is like. Or labor pains of a woman when she's giving childbirth. The baby's coming. You're not going to stop it. It's going to come one way or another. It's coming. So the same should be with us, with our eagerness to keep peace, because we have the Spirit. So are you laboring in unity? Are you laboring for the bond of peace? Are you laboring to be thankful? That's at the end of verse 15 of Colossians 3. Be thankful. In the Greek, the word maintain means to guard. So I'm just going to read it again. Eager to maintain. So we labor to guard is what it is in the Greek. Sorry, I messed that up on you. In Greek, the word maintain means guard. So are you laboring to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Are you laboring to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? We all know what a guard does. Alan knows what a guard is. He was up really late one day when he come here, and he didn't fall asleep that I know of, but it's to protect, though. So on the PowerPoint, I gave you 1 Corinthians 1:10, which we already read. But then in John 17:21, if you remember from last week, I find that it's a bit of a help for us. If you want to turn there, please turn there. And if you don't get there, keep flipping until you get to it, and I'll read it here. John 17:21. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Respecting others' opinions gives a vibrant understanding of our own walk with Christ. Respect is fundamental in fulfilling the call to the unity of the bond of peace. To labor in it, right? Colossians 3:14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Romans 12, 4-5. Maybe I'll flip with you. Then I won't read so fast. Romans 12, 4-5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. Neither of us are the same. We're all separate, different people, but we are one in Christ. I think that we need to tell that to ourselves more often. But as well, we don't function the same. We don't function in the same way. Or even in our gifts that God Himself gives to us. And the works that we will do that were formed before the foundations of the world will not all be the same. This infiltrates the importance of the unity among believers and our calling to maintain harmony and peace within the community. Not just this community, but all around. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. I'm sure you've heard this verse lots through your life or memorized it. And He will make your paths straight. Trusting God should always be our foremost priority. When we place our trust in Him, it naturally influences our actions, which in turn positively impacts our interpersonal relationships. So remember, we went through the whole point of if, and we went through let as well when we started in Colossians. Some of you weren't here for that, so I'll give you a little piece of that. If the peace of Christ is to rule our lives, that's from Colossians 3 in the beginning of verse 1 and on, but if He is to rule in our lives, then let the divine action, active role of Christ rule in your life. And as we talked before with let in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3, and let the peace of Christ rule. So, from what we talked about from before, let me remind you of what the whole let part was laid out and how it was laid out through Scripture. When you look at let, when you follow through Scripture, letting events unfold allows us to see how letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts plays an active role in God's divine authority and our responsibility to live according to His will, not our will. And we are to seek to know the will of God when we become saved. That is our purpose and one of our goals to do, to know His will. I know there's this whole thing, what do I do with my life? That often happens within our world. But when we have Christ, we know that we have a purpose and we have a goal to know God's will and to seek after unity. Not only has God given us the ability to treat others correctly, but encourages and gives directives on how to treat animals. I'm sure you've seen that in Scripture, Old Testament. There's a lot of different representations of how we're to act or behave towards animals and not to beat your animal. We could go through a pile of Scriptures, but Exodus 23:12, I'll just read it to you. You can write it down. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest. And then he goes on to say, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. So there's rest for animals just as there's rest for man. Then Proverbs 12:10, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast. And then it goes on in that verse and it says, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. The mercy of the wicked is cruel. It's from the ESV.